Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. NASCAR Goes West concludes their tour in Southern California. The battle for the 2017 Formula One World Championship opened down under, and the sport lost a pair of true racers and gentlemen this past week. All this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report. For Monday, March the 27th, 2017, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag at the top of the hour. As we get further into the springtime, racing action keeps heating up. Let's jump right into the Speedway Report victory lane lap, give you all the results and who won what over the busy weekend. We'll start with the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Tour in Fontana, California. I am still practicing the name of the series. Kyle Larson finally gets to victory lane as he has been knocking on the door for so many weeks, dating all the way back to last year. The final caution flag set up a pit stop question mark. What to do? A few guys stayed out on that on their old tires and that worn out pavement at California Speedway. Who would pit? Who would not? Kyle Larson was the first guy out of the pits with four tires. Even better than that, he restarted fourth, only had three cars in front of him in the high lane. It was his day. It was his weekend. Kyle Larson wins for the first time, his second Cup career win. Xfinity cars were at Fontana on Saturday. Larson swept the weekend. He was the man. We told you he was the hottest man in NASCAR. He proved it this weekend, a sweep out in Southern California. Larson, yes, the hottest man in NASCAR. What about the second hottest guy? Well, I could make a case for young Todd Gilliland. The NASCAR's K&N Pro Series West was also out in the southwest corner of the U.S. in California. On Thursday night, they ran in Bakersfield, California with the Napa Auto Parts 150. Napa also sponsors the ride that Gilliland drives. He took the checkered flag Thursday night. Saturday, the tour ran a doubleheader at Irwindale, California with twin 100s. Gilliland swept both. He goes 3 for 3. Thursday and 2 on Saturday. Nice for him. We are going to give the crown of the hottest guy in NASCAR to Kyle Larson just because of his track record, but we'll keep an eye on Gilliland. Formula One, as we talked about, their season has begun. Did you stay up late like me and was kind of crazy and looking for a 12:30 a.m. Sunday red lights out? Yeah, I was tired on Sunday morning as well. They opened their season down under in Australia. Sebastian Vettel in a Ferrari won by almost 10 seconds over Lewis Hamilton. Where was the key to all of this? They both started the race on the ultra-soft compound. The difference, Hamilton could only last until lap 17 before he had to pit for the option tires. Vettel was able to last until all the way to lap 22 with his. He got five extra laps out of the soft tires. When he came out of the pits, Vettel had the lead. Hamilton is second, and from there, Vettel just stretched the Ferrari's lead there, went on to the checkered flags. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Ferrari and Mercedes tango that we have seen in the last few weeks. Jumping over to the dirt tracks, the World of Outlaws late models raced Friday night in Meridian, Mississippi. Brandon Shepard took the checkered flag there. They had planned to run in Little Rock, Arkansas on Saturday night, and that program was rained out. And last night in Kilgore, Texas, Timothy Culp won the A main. World of Outlaws sprint cars were in Stockton, California. Geez, lots of major touring cars and series in California this week. They faced Mother Nature as well, and Friday night in Stockton got the best of them. They had a doubleheader set up. It became a single race weekend on Saturday night. No, not Donnie Schatz. Brad Sweet was the winner of the Outlaw Sprint feature. Looking here in the southeast to our local short tracks, the Cars Tour raced up in Thornburg, Virginia, just a little bit north of where we are. Super late models went twin 75s. They were swept by Brandon Setzer. Two races, two checkered flags. The late model stock cars also ran twin 75s. Lane Riggs won one, and Jeff Oakley won the other. The Pass Super Late Model Tour was in Rougemont, North Carolina for the Orange Blossom Special 150. Matt Craig takes the checkered flag. A little bit of perk to that win. He now gets a guaranteed starting spot in the Oxford 250 coming up in August up in Oxford, Maine. The Southern Modified Racing Series also ran in Rougemont with the late models. The Orange Blossom 125 was won by Brandon Ward. Didn't make it to that race out at Orange County Speedway. Sounds like a good one with a nice doubleheader with a 150 and a 125. Now, let's begin. Let's talk about a couple of big names that we lost out of the auto racing world since we were with you last. Pete Hamilton was put to rest this past week. He was best known for winning the 1970 Daytona 500. He also has a few wins at Talladega, all for Petty Enterprises. A few more notes on him. He was the 1967 NASCAR Sportsman Champion. This is the precursor to the late model Sportsman and the Busch Grand National, now known as the Xfinity Series. He raced when those cars were legitimately the old Sportsman cars. Before there was a huge difference between the modifieds and sportsmen, some of the cars, some of the teams could race together in the same race. He had somewhat of a coupe, a little bit of a modified action, but it was certainly sportsman legal. He raced up and down the East Coast. They raced from Canada to here down in the Deep South. Hamilton, excuse me, the 1967 sportsman titleist. Also, he was a winner of the 1974 Snowball Derby in Pensacola, Florida, still to this day, one of the biggest pavement late model races, and is a member of the New England Auto Racing Hall of Fame. NEAR is a very respected and revered organization in the Northeast. So many of the friends that people I now call friends, and so many of the legends of the sport that I grew up on in New England, members of the Hall of Fame. So Pete Hamilton, we lost this past week. Interesting story aside, like a personal one, is I wish people were around for me to verify this. My dad told me that, gosh, my grandmother was a school teacher, once had Pete Hamilton in her class as a student. Hamilton is a native of Massachusetts. I grew up in Connecticut. Both my grandmother and my dad have passed away, so I can't verify and go through all the details of the story, but I'm pretty sure that's how the story went, something I heard hearsay when I was younger in my days, and I wish I had someone to ask about that now, but that would be pretty cool to talk about right now. Also, just this past Saturday night, one of the best pavement sprint car drivers of our time, ever possibly, Dave Steele, lost his life this past Saturday night racing at the DeSoto Speedway in Bradenton, Florida. 3/8 mile fairly high bank track, Tampa Bay area sprint car series, crash right at the green flag between the first and second turns. If you've seen the video of the crash, doesn't look too graphic. It's one of those crashes where it doesn't appear to be serious. Unfortunately, it was. The car, Steele's left front, rode over the right rear of another competitor in the middle of the turner and the turn, pirouetted the car in midair, and his left side made contact with the concrete wall. So Saturday night, he lost his life. As I said, he's regarded as one of the best open wheel pavement drivers. He was the USAC Silver Crown champion in 2004. And 2005. He is the last driver to win 3 straight Silver Crown races. This happened during that championship season of 2005. He is the winner in USAC Sprints and midgets both on pavement. Incidentally, all of his wins in USAC did come on the asphalt. Some of the bigger races, he won at the Copper Classic in Phoenix. He won the night before the 500 at Indianapolis Raceway Park. He won the Turkey Night Grand Prix. He's won at Richmond, Virginia. He went out in Colorado. Big races at Winchester and Salem, Indiana. And he is a winner, quite possibly the biggest pavement sprint car race in the country. He has won the Little 500 in Anderson, Indiana. Down with the series he was racing with, a Tampa Bay Sprint Car Championship. He is a three-time champ of that. He also, in his resume, he has starts in IndyCar and NASCAR's Xfinity Series. And just this past year, I was at the Little 500 in May and got up to second. He was a second-place finisher in the Little 500 this past year. Dave Steele, racer through and through, short track superstar. Hear nothing but good things about him. I had met him maybe once in passing, saw him race several times with my trips to Indiana in the Midwest to catch some open wheel racing that surround the Indianapolis 500. Know of him well, have watched him on TV when he was younger. He did make some appearances on ESPN, age 42. Dave Steele, rest in peace to you. Talk a little bit about the safety aspect of Steele's wreck. I saw a photograph, not totally confirmed, but I saw a photograph of what looked like Steele's car earlier in the night, and the car did not appear to be equipped with all the possible safety equipment that a sprint car could have. Could not see clearly or not if he had a Hans device on or some kind of helmet restraining system, but it certainly did not look like he had a containment seat on the car. We've all seen the safety of seats rise and safety equipment generally rise very quickly over the past several years, and these containment seats will keep a driver's head from shifting left or right. It did not look like Steele's car was equipped with any kind of a containment system for his head. If he was wearing a Hans device, which I could not see, would help him in a fore and aft impact, but they would not help on a side-to-side impact. The containment seats that they surround your head, cocoon a driver's head, would have protected him from a left-to-right impact. That's what Steele took. The photo I saw did not appear to have that on the car. Won't speculate as to exactly what happened in the details of the crash, but it was a left-side impact crash, hard one, and prayers to the Steele family. Hate seeing guys anything happen like that. Tough to lose racers like that. So rest in peace, Dave Steele, and rest in peace, Pete Hamilton. Looking at the on-track action this past weekend, jumping back to the speedways, at the Auto Club Speedway, we talked about how hot Kyle Larson is this year. We dug a little deeper, looked at some research on this one, and I'm counting, hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, his last seven starts in the NASCAR, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Kyle Larson's last seven starts go back to Phoenix last year to end the season. Third, second, 12th, second, 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 first. And the 12th place run, we mentioned it last week, that was the Daytona 500, where he was leading at the white flag, ran out of gas coming out of the second corner and lost the race. Kyle Larson, with a few good breaks, he could be looking at almost seven straight wins here. The guy has been that good. Ganassi has not run well for years in the NASCAR level. Kyle Larson, an exceptional driver. They obviously have finally found their stride and are clicking. That is the fastest car on the tour week to week, the 42 car for Ganassi Racing. As we talked about that final pit stop, what an agonizing position as I watched Auto Club Speedway on television yesterday. That caution comes out. There's so many cars left on the lead lap. You've got an abrasive surface. You need four tires. There's only a few laps to go. What do you do? What do you do? Larson comes in, puts four on. What if everybody else stays out? What if he's the only one that pits? What if he stays out and everybody behind him pits? He came for four tires, worked out for him. good to see something come his way and fall into his lap. Todd Gilliland, we mentioned, goes 3-for-3 over the weekend, including, just look back a little bit, 3-for-3, which makes 4 official races in the West Series. He was second place in the opener that they had out there. Gilliland off to a heck of a start in 2017. I absolutely wanted to talk about this Formula One opener down in Australia. There is a chess game and a lot of cat and mouse going on between Mercedes and Ferrari. Somebody's playing possum, and I think it was Ferrari until race day on Sunday. Let me talk about this. We had preseason testing in Barcelona a few weeks ago, and Ferrari was extremely quick. And Lewis Hamilton, driver of Mercedes, was talking about how much faster the Ferraris are than he was per lap. Three, four seconds a lap, he was talking about. Well, I'm thinking to myself, Hamilton, who are you trying to kid, dude? No way. It's like, you're playing possum. Mercedes is running sectors on these tracks where they're fast in one section, slow in another. They're finding out their lap speeds. They're fine. Mercedes is just laying in the weeds because they don't want to give out an example or show what they have under the hood. And Ferrari is quick. They're better, but they're not fast. This is going to be another Mercedes year. Well, we come to practice and qualifying. Ferrari not that great, especially Vettel in practice. In qualifying, Hamilton comes out, gets the pole. Then, as I talked about earlier in the show, Ferrari is the master on race day. They had a much better package for the ultra soft tires. He was able to last longer and faster than Hamilton was, got in later, ran that many more laps on those ultra soft tires. Then Vettel comes out in the lead and continues to stretch it away from the Mercedes. I was wrong. Mercedes is not lying in the weeds. I think it was Ferrari that was lying in the weeds. They had good speed at the Barcelona test, but when they showed up in Australia for actual race weekend, I think they played their cards very tight. They did not let anybody else see how good they really are. People were talking, this is going to be a great championship battle. We've talked about Mercedes for so many years. Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg. Rosberg has retired. Now Ferrari's going to jump up and give Mercedes a battle. Yes, I believe they will. This will be a two-team race for the world championship. However, I think Ferrari actually has the upper hand. I thought Mercedes was BSing us for 2 weeks now. No, it was Ferrari that Hamilton was right all along. It was Ferrari that played possum on the Australia race weekend until it came to actual race day. I didn't think they wanted to lose their advantage or give everyone else a chance to catch up. Smart move. Gamesmanship, a lot of poker being played, what have you, call it what you will. There was a lot of gamesmanship in Australia between Ferrari and Mercedes. I'm looking forward to round number 2 coming up here in a few weeks because I don't think this is just going to be another Mercedes year. Auto Club Speedway yesterday with the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, Saturday with the Xfinity cars. And a topic I don't always talk about, don't always tackle, but it comes up on Tuesday nights a lot in Racing Through History. I wanted to touch on this a little bit, and that's NASCAR TV ratings. Saw tonight where the overnight rating for the race at Auto Club Speedway yesterday was a 2.9. This is down from previous years. Now, what does an overnight rating mean? I did a little research on television ratings. And basically, the overnight rating is 56% out of the largest 56 out of the largest 210 markets. So about 1/4 of the big markets that they grab. That's an overnight rating. Now, NASCAR typically grows their ratings numbers, not in the overnight, but when everything else is factored in. Why is that? Well, a lot of the large markets, your New York, your LA, your Chicago, are not hotbeds for NASCAR racing. You look at Greensboro here in North Carolina. You look at places in South Carolina, places in Florida. These are the bigger events or the bigger cities that attract a large NASCAR audience. The overnight ratings, they pick up New York City, they pick up San Diego, they pick up San Francisco or Los Angeles. Those are not NASCAR hotbeds. I dug a little further. Here's some interesting facts I dug up. I wanted to know today's day and age in 2017, people watch these races and all events on their electronic devices. There are fewer and fewer people every year watching television. They're picking up on their electronic devices. They're streaming it live. Are DVR recordings put into television ratings? Yes, they are. There's a DVR within 7 days and a DVR rating within 30 days. So those numbers within the next month of any broadcast show move up or down. Are TV shows and sports events watched in bars figured in the television ratings? No, they are not. And here's the biggest kicker. Are sports events broadcast on electronic devices, your phone or a tablet or a Kindle or what have you, are they figured into television ratings? The answer is no, they are not. All of these ratings for every show, every sitcom, every movie, every sporting event, they are going down. Yes, we talk about NASCAR's issues here week in, week out. They've got a lot to fix. But the TV ratings, you can't really beat them up for because the ratings of everything goes down. NASCAR finished 9th this weekend in sporting events. The first 8 events that beat them were NCAA basketball games. With this, the round that we went to the Final Four, very popular, in particularly where? The South, here, where it's popular for NASCAR and popular for college basketball. These more and more people are watching these events on devices. All ratings are going down. So when we beat up NASCAR saying, guys, you got to figure out a way to get NASCAR ratings back up, no, you do not, because they're going to continue to go down on all broadcast events. They go to devices. They're not being registered as far as television ratings. They're just more and more people are watching them on devices. There's no way to pick up those numbers yet. They will pick them up, I have confidence in time, but as of this past year, no, those events are not recorded in television ratings, and that's where more and more people are going. Every single sport, every single sitcom, movie, program, drama, what have you on television, the ratings are going down. Don't beat up on NASCAR week in and week out because the ratings are going down. We've got other issues to worry about. TV ratings is not necessarily one of them. Biggest piece of information I took from this, I thought it doesn't even factor, but I had to share this with you. Here are the top 5 markets for one of the biggest television events of the year, the Oscar broadcasts. Where are the big 5? New York City, San Diego, Los Angeles, Chicago, and San Francisco. Let's compare those to NASCAR's biggest event, the Daytona 500. Those top 5 markets, where were they ranked for the Daytona 500? 55th, 44th, 52nd, 49th, and 54th. That's a cultural divide. People that are majorly interested in the Oscars have zero interest in the Daytona 500, and vice versa. Daytona 500 fans could care less about the Oscars. Stuff that you learn when you're researching TV ratings on NASCAR. In between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our website, speedwayreport.com. Our Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. Just head to the top ribbon, click the TV button, and you can watch tonight's show and archived programs. We also have columns there from Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and myself, so stop in to Speedway Report. .com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production work tonight. You can hear more from Jeff and the Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday at 7 Eastern Time on Racing Through History. And don't forget, Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern Time right here on Racers Reunion Radio. Big thanks to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat rooms for tuning in. It is great to be part of your family. I see the messages scroll by on my screen, so it's kind of fun to read them as I'm going along with the show. Now, if you did tune in late to Speedway Report and want to catch a rebroadcast of us or enter any Racers Reunion programs, you can simply catch up like this, as I know a lot of racing and rocking folks are just clicking in now. We'd like you to check out a Speedway Report show sometimes, too. Self-gratuitous plug there. Basically, we're live every Monday and Tuesday night. You just click the Listen Now button on Speedway Report or Racers Reunion websites, and we're on replay. You can just catch all the archives as well. My shows, speedwayreport.com. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Kilder, I am Patrick Reynolds. We will be back in 1 week with news from NASCAR Cup and trucks in Martinsville, the icebreaker from Thompson, Connecticut, and racing's hot topics. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night.
Also performing is Jim Quick and Coastline, the Tim Clark Band, Mr. 50, special performance by Maddie and Cicely Russo. Special guest.